Hey, you're not going nowhere. As we come together on this evening, thanking God for the many blessings that He has given us.
Amen.
And continuing to be thankful for this life that He has given us.
Amen.
The God that we serve, a living God. The creator of heaven and earth and everything in it. We are so very thankful for what He has done, for what He is doing, and for what He will continue to do. If you do not know who God is and what God has done, and what He will do, do not leave here on this evening wondering, but ask somebody so that it can be not only told to you, but it can be shown to you from the Word of God, the things that are pleasing and acceptable unto Him. He is most definitely a good God.
Amen.
I want you to take a second to look at the number that was here on this morning. To my left, to your right. I believe that number is 84. Mm-hmm. 84. Now, I want you to take a second to glance to your left and to your right and notice there are a lot of empty seats on this evening. I stated this morning, and nothing has changed, there are some people that were here this morning that generally come back in the evening. They're not here. I stated this morning that when you preach a lesson on giving, people have a tendency to hold back. When you preach a lesson on assembling or being on time, people have a tendency not to show up or say, I'll show him, and they'll be late. Let me let you know right now, whether it's at 6:30, 7:30, 8:30 tonight, Brother Melvin, Brother Pack, Brother Ollie, and Brother Shelton, I can rest assured not one of us, not a one of us, are going to lose any sleep.
Amen.
But if those individuals that are not here for the mere purpose of saying or thinking, I'll show them, they will be shown. If that individual dies with hatred or disbelief, there's only one place for them. And that would be, yes, in the Hadean realm, but not in paradise. There's a place of torment. And then come judgment, that individual will find themselves in the lake which burns with fire. Now, that was free. That was just a little continuation from this morning. But I want to talk to you this evening about another important matter. I've been talking for the last 3 weeks or so on authority. If the Word of God is preached, we read last week, I believe, Brother Mark, you and I, and Brother Brian was that you up here? No, it wasn't you. That was you. When we were talking about 1 Peter 4:11, were you up here?
No.
That was you. See, mind goes bad from time to time. But when you have the Word of God, it comes back to you. Go ahead and read that, Brother Mark. It comes back to you. And I would see, you know, a lot of times they say, go with your first thought. And my first thought, it was Brother Mark. And then I was like, well, why was he up here? But then he was standing down there, and we were just talking about that. So go ahead and read that for us, Brother Mark.
Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
All right, so the things that we preach, the things that we teach, should come from the Word of God.
Amen.
No doubt. No doubt. And I believe that as we look at what we're going to talk about on this evening, we can all agree that it is from the Word of God. How can we agree to that? Because there is going to be Bible. If you have no Bible, don't agree to it. Don't. You know, I've been listening to, I believe Anita was telling me her name earlier. Her name is Collier. Collier, when she, you know, singing that song. We'll get it right later. Singing that song that she says amen at the end of it. And when she hears others say amen, she says the same thing. Now, she don't quite understand what amen means. But there's a lot of us that understands what amen means. It means that you are in agreement with what is being said. That's amen. First time I thought about that or even gave that into consideration, I believe it's out Shepherdsville Road somewhere where there was a sign that had amen up on there. And I said, let me look that up and see what that means. And I looked it up, and the meaning is simply in agreement. Now, if you're not in agreement with what's being said, by no means should you say amen. And if you don't know what you're saying amen to, then by all means, don't say it. Don't say it. And so we're going to look and we're going to talk today, this evening, about local membership. About local membership. Now, we've talked about this in time past. I believe Brother Brown, it's been 2 or 3 years ago where Brother Brown, you know, had a class and he was talking about local membership. How, you know, why should you become or why should you, you know, join yourself together with a local congregation? I want to read something for you. I want to read something for you. And I think this is very interesting. It deals with, I was reading something and someone says something in reference to CPS and foster care, and they named another organization. And they said those people should be ashamed of themselves. You know, they should be ashamed of themselves. And the reason that they were saying that, because they are not in agreement with how the state, CPS, and foster care are taking care of children. They're not in agreement with that. Now, all CPS workers are not bad, all state representatives are not bad, and all foster parents are not bad. But there's a difference between a foster parent and a parent that has adopted a child. There is a difference. And I'm saying that for us, and you'll get to know why I'm saying that in just a moment. But here's what it says. As a foster parent, you have no legal parental rights. And decision making is shared by the agency, you, and perhaps the birth parents. However, when you adopt, you acquire the same legal rights and responsibilities for your child as birth parents have for their biological children. All right? Did you all get that? What do you think is more important? Being in foster care? Or being, or which has weighs more on the case, foster care or being an adoptive home? All right, we all that are members of the Lord's Church, we are not in foster care.
That's right.
We have been adopted, and one preacher says it like this, and he tells kids to go to school, and you say it the same way when people talk about you, you know, and you are welcomed in. They say, you were born into the family that you were born into, and they do not want you. I was adopted because they wanted me. God wants us. Amen. He has adopted us into his family. And we should be so delighted, ecstatic about that, that we're part of the family of God. Now, our biological families do not care for us the way that they should care for us, but as God's people, we should care for one another. Brother Simmons' prayer was great. I was listening to it, and I was absorbing it, and I was like, he's right on the money. Where there are so many people that do not have what we have because they're not children of God. Now, granted, some people out there that are homeless, that are out without clothing, that are without food, that are without shelter. Again, that's the homeless part. A lot of them are out there because they want to be out there. Even some of God's people do not want structure. They want to be out there. They don't have to be, but they want to be. But may we be led to some that are lost, that we may teach them the truth concerning God's word, and they may do what you find up on the board, that they may be added to the universal church. How? By being baptized. We know that in Acts chapter 2, when the gospel message was preached by Peter and the other apostles, that the question was asked, men and brethren, what must we do? Well, what can we do in order to be saved? And what did Peter tell them? What was his reply? His reply was, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, that you may receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you, to your children, to those that are far off, and as many as the Lord our God shall call. And then there in verse 41, those that received his word were baptized, and added to their number was about 3,000 on that day. And verse 47, we cannot exclude verse 47 when we start talking about, you know, being added to the Lord's church. Because a lot of people do not understand the addition, that they want to join something instead of being added to it. Now, you take two numbers. You take one and one, and you join them together, and what do you have? Some of you will say two, but I'm going to tell you right now, you're wrong. If you take those two numbers and you join them together, you do not have two, but you have 11. That's some good math, isn't it? No, it's not math. It's just joining two numbers together. Now, if you take one and you add one to it, then you get two. Now, I wasn't a mathematician. I hated math. Matter of fact, I made D's in math. And matter of fact, when I go home sometime, my family messed with me, and we started talking about counting this and counting that. They said, don't ask Junior. But I know what 1 + 1 is. I know that it's 2. And I understand that being added to the body of Christ, that there is something that one must do. They must hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized in order to be added to the Lord's church. I understand that. Now, that's just being added to the Lord's church, the universal church. Now we get down to the point where, and I can go back and talk about the adoption a little bit more if you so desire. And let's do that. Romans chapter 8 and the verse is 15. Romans chapter 8 and the verse is 15. You know, we've had some children that would say, you know, I want to be a part of that family, or I want to be a part of this family. And there's a reason why they say that, because they're looking at how those children are being fed. They're looking at how those children are being dressed. They look at the house that those kids are living in. They look at the toys that their friends have, and they say, I want to be a part of that family. Mama, Daddy, I don't want to be a part of this family any longer. I want to be a part of that family. And you know what the courts are doing now? They're allowing children to divorce their parents. Okay. You know what happens if when they get into a new home? There are rules and regulations there. They don't always get the things that those other children have. Now they want to get away from this home. But they are not adopted. They're only in foster care. So there's no divorce. You're stuck. You didn't want these parents over here, but now you have these over here. But adoption is important. That an individual is a part of some family that wants them. All right? And so we look in the book of Romans chapter 8, and the verse is 15. Romans chapter 8 and the verse is 15. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Now remember, there is a plan, and the plan is not, you know, what's going to happen to man as far as man being the plan. The plan is that man may be saved. Okay? The plan has always been in effect. And the only way that you're going to be able to benefit from the plan is that you follow what the plan says. You know, there are rules and regulations for adoption. And a lot of people say, it's hard to get adopted. No one wants to adopt me because I've been a ruly child, or I'm too old, I'm this color or that color. I'm from this nation or that nation, and this, that, and the other. So therefore, I'm stuck here. God doesn't care where you're from. God doesn't care what you look like. He desires that men everywhere might be saved. Continue there in Romans chapter 9 and the verse is 26. Romans chapter 9 and the verse is 26. It says, and in the very place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they will be called sons of the living God. Sons of the living God. Again, how did this take place? By adoption. By adoption. Then you go to Galatians chapter 3, and the verse is 26. Galatians chapter 3, and the verse is 26. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God. Through, listen to what it says now, you are all sons of God through faith. Through faith. Again, those qualifications. He says in verse 27, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Again, you became a member of the universal church by putting Christ on. On the sheet that we have, when an individual desires to be baptized, They put that on there. And then, you know, there's a place on there, I believe, where say they want to place membership. Okay, you were baptized, and now you want to place membership. Sometimes they they check everything on there. This, that, and the other. I need prayers. I'm in sin. I'm asking for forgiveness for it. I want to be baptized, and I want to place my membership. Why do individual need to place membership in a local congregation? We're only going to talk about three things on this evening. We can talk about more, but we're only going to talk about three, because some of the things that we look at and we talk about as far as being a member of the Lord's church, it goes from wherever you are. No matter, you know, if you're in Timbuktu, and yes, that is a place, go look it up. Or are you in the boonies somewhere? That's a place as well. We have to understand that somebody, somewhere, needs to give an account for you. Here we have three elders. The elders that we have here in the book of Acts chapter 20, and we looked at this verse, Acts chapter 20, in the verses 28. Acts 20 in the verses 28. He says, pay a careful attention to yourselves, talking about the elders here, and to all the flock, that's talking about those that they're in charge of, those that they're over, those that they're leading. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. The church. Jesus is the head, but we have elders in a local congregation. Remember, Titus was told that I left you here in Crete that you may ordain elders in every city. See, the eldership does not. You know, there are elders here at the West End. They don't go over there to the East End and say, hey, look, I was an elder at the West End. Now I'm here, so I'm an elder here. Nope. Don't work like that. The people there don't know you. They don't know what you're capable of. They don't know, you know, whether you have a good report or a bad report with those within and without. They don't understand that. So you have to start joining together with them, worshiping with them, proving yourself to them. And then if they want to, you know, ask you to lead that congregation as an elder, so desire. That's their right to do so. Every congregation stands up on its own merits. And that is, again, some things that we need to understand. But there's a reason why we talk about local membership. And one of the reasons is not that. Give me one second. I want you to see it so that you can believe it. Believing is seeing, I've heard. And we are not from Missouri, but I am going to show you. So if you would, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, and the chapter is 10. I mean, chapter is 13. Hebrews and the chapter is 13. And the verse is 17. The verse is 17. That again is Hebrews chapter 13, and the verse is 17. I know somebody's out there saying right now, he is not on time. Only few of y'all caught that, didn't you? Hebrews chapter 13 and the verse is 17. Hebrews chapter 13 and the verse is 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. All right. What is the writer talking about here? Submit. Submit. Submit to who? Those that are over you, those that are in a leadership position, you submit. Obey your leaders and submit to them. Obey your leaders and submit to them. Okay? If you're not a member of a local congregation, who are you submitting to? Who are you going to obey? Think about it just for a second. You know, you work at McDonald's. Now, I know that they tell you, if you work at McDonald's, you take your pay stub and you go to this McDonald's down here, you can go to that McDonald's over there, and they'll honor that discount, okay? Give you that employee discount. But try this. Try this. Going in there and tell that owner of the McDonald's down here that you don't like the position that you have over there, what they going to tell you? Are they going to say, oh, I'll gladly change that position. I'll gladly let you work in another position. They don't have the right to do that. It's not their right because you don't work at that local McDonald's. You work at the McDonald's over there. All of them are, it's franchised, but they're different owners. There's only one owner of the church, but there are local congregations. And, you know, when we start talking about being a member of the universal congregation, universal church, that's great. But where are you a member of? Are you a member of any local congregation? Are you under the leadership of anybody? Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls. A lot of people don't want anybody to keep tabs on them. Why are you calling me? What do you want? I care about you. I'm concerned about you. And we look right here. There's a reason why we need to be members of a local congregation. In 1 Corinthians 5, I can do what I say. I can do what I want to do. Again, you've heard me say it because I'm 20 years old or 18 years old. I'm grown. You can't tell me what to do. I can run rapid. I can just do whatever. You're a member of a local congregation. You find that you can't do whatever you want to do. There's some discipline involved. There's some judgment involved. when we look at this. Some judgment involved. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we find where Paul is writing, and what he talks about, there is something that is not right. A man has his father's wife. That's not right. And when that happens, the Bible clearly states in verse 9, let's start there, in verse 9, and then we'll come down. I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexual immoral people. Not at all meaning the sexual immoral of this world, or the greedy and swindlers or idolaters. Since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I'm writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother if he is guilty of sexual immorality or greed or is an idolater, evildoer, drunkard, or swindler. Not even to eat with such a one. Now, you're a member of a local congregation, and they tell you that you are not living the way you're supposed to live, and so therefore, we're going to exercise discipline against you, and if you don't get that thing right, then we're going to put you out. We're not going to associate with you. We can't associate with you. And what you do is you jump up and you run and you go over here, and now you're worshiping at this congregation. And where'd you come from? Where'd you come from? Well, I've always been a member here. Don't you remember me? And without doing any type of research, they welcome you in. Say, yeah, I guess you have always been a member here. But I know that, you know, that's a little far-fetched, isn't it? Because we don't believe that. And I remember first coming here, and there was a young man, two individuals getting baptized, and this other young man came in, and I asked him, I said, who are you? And he told me what his name was, and he said, I'm a member here. I said, you are? I said, I've never met you before. And we talked about it, and of course, yeah, he's a member, but he's a member that had not been worshiping the way he should. So again, we have to understand the importance of local membership. And of course, then there was a list out front there that told about the ones that had been withdrawn from. And yes, of course, he was a member, but there was some discipline exercised against him. And that's what a local congregation has the right to do. Exercise discipline against those that are not doing right. And that is what Paul is talking about here. Not to associate with those individuals that are doing things wrong. And here's what he says in verse 12. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? God judges those outside. Purge the evil person from amongst yourselves. So how can a congregation exercise or purge someone that says, I'm not a member there anyway? How can that happen? It can't happen. But every member of the Lord's church should desire to be under leadership of somebody. Should want to be joined together with a local work in order that they may help in any manner, in any way that they can. Whether it's teaching a class, whether it's preaching a sermon, whether it's going out and encouraging others. Should want to be. Then we find in Matthew chapter 18 about discipline. In Matthew chapter 18 about discipline. Again, reading these things, you would say, why would I want to be a member of a local congregation? Why do I want to place my membership there? Well, it's still good. Regardless of the consequences or what you find here in the Bible, you still should desire to want to do the things that God would have you to do. Okay? So in Matthew chapter 18, I want you to consider this for a moment. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. Matthew 18, and the verse is 15. You know, there's something that we call a private sin and a public sin. And here you find that as Jesus is dealing with this, it starts out as a private sin. A sin between you and someone else. You know, a lot of times people don't know what's going on in our lives unless we tell them. You know, we preach lessons. Somebody say, you need to preach a lesson on gossip because of this and because of that. You know who the worst gossipers are and what we gossip about? It's not women. It's men. And what we gossip about ourselves. We tell everybody our business. It's gossip still. I don't care if it's true. It's still gossip. And so we look here at what is being said in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15. If your brother sins against you, you pick up the phone and you tell everybody about it. Is that what the Bible says? No. If your brother sins against you, you quickly call up the elders and you tell them about it. Is that what the Bible says? No. You tell the preacher about it? No. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. This is the Lord's people that we're dealing with right here. This is not a brother, you know, your biological brother. This is not your brother, you know, that, hey, we're raised together and, you know, we've been brothers a long time. You're still not in the same family, but you've been brothers a long time. No, it's not this brother. This is the brother that has been added to the body of Christ. He said, if he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others with you that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. Take someone else with you. Okay? So that these charges may be established. Now, this individual is not a member of the congregation in which you attend. And so here you find something that there's going to be a problem now. For he says in verse 17, if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen to even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. He's not a member, so therefore, well, what is the church going to do? What is the church going to say? He's going to say, ooh, I don't have to listen to you. You ever had a child to come over to your house to visit and play with your kids, and you tell him you need to stop doing what you're doing, and he look at you and say, you ain't my dad. Well, best for you to get home before I become more than your daddy. You know, we don't like unruly children, do we? There's some wives that tell some husbands that, or some husbands that tell their wives, you're not my mama, or you're not my daddy. And then there's some sisters that say the same thing to some people sometimes. Who are you talking to? You ain't my dad. We have to understand that leadership must be desired. Leadership must be followed. And here you find exercising church discipline. We discipline those that are under, you can only discipline those that are under your leadership. You can't discipline anybody else. You don't have the right to discipline them. What do we read about foster care and adoptive parents? The foster parent has no parental rights, but an adoptive parent has parental rights. And so when you become a child of God, you have been adopted into the family of God. So therefore, find a local congregation and become a member of it. And ensure when you become a member of it, that congregation is doing the things that God desires them to do. If the elders are not leading the way they need to lead, then you don't need to be a member of that congregation. If the members are not, you know, doing what they need to do, you need to go and talk to the members. Try to encourage them to change. And you yourself need to change as well if change needs to be done. Local membership. Can we say more? Yes, we can. You can see a whole lot more. Again, you're added to the church, but you join a local congregation. You don't join the church. You're added to the church, but you join a local congregation. You are now under the leadership of someone. The church, again, was purchased by the blood of Christ. Amen. We should be honored to be a part of it. And we should respect those that are leaders in a local congregation, that are leading God's people according to his word. So if you're here this evening and you're not a child of God, and I mentioned about a private sin and a public sin, you see there in Matthew chapter 18 how that sin was private between you and someone else, and how an individual that was doing wrong did not want to change, and that sin became public. And once it became public, that individual still did not want to do what was right, so therefore they was put out. And understand this, that now that that individual has been put out, then more people are going to hear about it because that person is mad now, and they're going to be telling people, you don't want to go over there because they don't treat you right. What do you mean they don't treat you right? I was doing wrong and they put me out because I didn't want to change. Well, who's right and who's wrong? God is always right. Amen. So therefore, we need to understand when we are rebuked, we need to change. We need to ask God to forgive us. So if you're here this evening and you're not a child of God and you want to become one, even what was said by what was said this evening, God welcomes you. He's ready to adopt you into the family. He's ready to add you to the local, to the universal church, and we welcome you to join this local work. You come and you make your confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You be immersed in the watery grave of baptism, added to the Lord's church, rising to walk a newness of life, doing what is right before him. There are things that we need to understand, that once we become a member of the universal church, that we have to continue to grow. And this is part of the growing here, learning what you need to do and where you need to be. I was talking to a man once, and he came to worship with us, and he said, you know, I don't fit in here. And that inspired a lesson. Get in where you fit in. You understand the truth and what you need to do in reference to God's word. Do those things and then find a local work where you fit in. Simple as that. Once you become a member of the local church or the universal church, you have to understand the importance of being faithful. We talked some about that this morning, about being on time. And we'll talk more about that next week, about being faithful, about our assembling together. A lot of people don't understand what faithfulness is all about. We're still talking about faithful in all things. Well, you know, I do this. I go out and visit people, and I do that right there. I help where I can and when I can. But for his attendance, I know I need to work on that. Well, you're not faithful. You're not faithful. You need to be faithful in doing what God would have you to do. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and the verses 18, it talks about growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18. So let's make sure we do that once we become a member of the church. If you're here this evening and you are not doing what you need to do, we encourage you to repent. Confess your faults one to another. You got to get it right with somebody. Go get it right and come back and ask God to forgive you as well. In 1 John 1 verse 9, confess your faults to him and he is just to forgive you of all unrighteousness. Amen. If you're hearing your subject of the invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.